For the Lord's Prayer. It has been a long time since I've taught through it, but those sermons are still online if you're interested in catching up with that and getting a refresher on how our Lord teaches us comprehensively how to pray using that very prayer, not only as a prayer that is to be prayed, but for instruction in prayer. I would send you there. All right, so let's turn to 1 Kings chapter, where are we, 18, right? Yes, 1 Kings chapter 18 for our first Old Testament reading today, our second reading in this service. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass, to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered all the prophets, or gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Who says the Bible is not an action-adventure writing? What a great passage. So let's talk about the opening section about Obadiah. Who is this guy, Obadiah? He is the chief governor of Ahab's house. Oh, poor Obadiah, he was so deluded. If only he would have left that godless government because it wasn't covenanted with God. Not exactly. He's commended here. He stayed in the house of Ahab, even though Ahab became an idol worshiper. And we would say, or maybe, I'll say it this way, maybe those 100 prophets would say, we're sure glad he stayed. By 100 prophets there, don't understand 100 extraordinary prophets. Just understand 100 true preachers of Jehovah in that day. And What did Obadiah do? Obadiah did the right part of a civil magistrate. As a lesser magistrate, he defied the order of the greater magistrate, Jezebel, and hid those prophets 50 in a cave. We always look not to become anarchists ourselves, but when we are under command of wicked civil authority to sin, that we look for a lesser magistrate following the rule of law and the rule of God to give us help and comfort in doing what is right instead. This is exactly the condition here. This is what Obadiah did, and he is to be commended for it. And beloved, this is why, as long as we're not having to violate any oaths or sin, we want Christian people in the highest echelons of government as far as we can have them. We pray for our leaders to be converted to Christ and to make use of their position to turn the tide of our nation from the precipice of destruction. When personified wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8 says, "By me kings reign," we understand that by me kings prolong their reign. When kings reign in divine wisdom, they prolong their reign. And those who reign in folly bring their kingdoms to nothing. How far did Ahab's kingdom go? Not very far. One more generation. That's it. Just one more. Okay, so Obadiah is a good man. And so now they're going to go past and see if they can find any greenery left. Remember, in the last chapter, 3.5 years of no rain. Elijah was told to pray to the Lord and ask for no rain. And so they didn't have any rain. James will talk about this in the 5th chapter as an encouragement to pray. So let's remember that encouragement. So then Elijah and Obadiah meet as Obadiah was, quote, in the way. Notice he's doing something godly. He's trying to save lives by finding grass so that they can keep the beasts alive, so that they will have things that when it does rain, they can still plow and plant and do everything that they need. And so he is in the way of duty. He's a godly magistrate. He's not a layabout. He's not one who takes advantage of his position. And so notice also that Obadiah is told by Elijah to go tell Ahab, "I'm coming." Let's not be too hard on Obadiah for pleading for his own life here. There is a 6th commandment responsibility. If someone says, "I'm going to cut your head off," that we say, "Well, you know, okay." We have a 6th commandment responsibility to preserve our lives using all lawful means. This remonstrance here is a lawful means of redress. And what was it based on? It was based on the reputation that Elijah had of God taking him here and taking him there. Right? We even see this in this chapter. He runs ahead of Ahab and his chariots to Jezreel. We're going to see him in the next chapter. He's fed with a little bit of food from the Lord. There's coals that are set and bread that is baked. And the angel says to him, "Eat, you're going to need your strength." And then he runs for 40 days in that strength to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, in the next chapter. So yeah, Elijah had a reputation of disappearing and appearing somewhere else. And so that's what Obadiah is afraid of, that I'm going to say, he's here, and when he's not, he's going to slay me. Well, what does Elijah do? He assures him of that. He assures him, no. "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. There's a man of faith. He took the oath from Elijah. All right, so then Ahab has a word for Elijah when they meet. He says, "Are you the one that's troubled Israel? Are you the guy that prayed for 3 years, for 3.5 years of no rain? Are you the troubler of Israel?" And beloved, notice what Elijah does. He says, "No, you're the one. You're the one that has troubled Israel with your idolatry." Beloved, every civil authority that countenances and advances idolatry in any nation in human history is troubling his nation. He's troubling his nation. I know that, quote, Christian pluralism is all the rage. It's sinful. We should not desire idolatry in our nation. It puts a target on our nation, as it did the ancient Israelites in the northern kingdom. No, Ahab, you're the one that has troubled Israel. Well, we got to hurry here. We have two long chapters and a lot of wonderful information in them. So Elijah asks the question that should be asked in every age. How long will ye halt between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, then serve him. And if Baal is God, serve him. And what did the people answer him? Not a word. Elijah, you don't understand. We need toleration in our nation. We don't need this kind of antagonism. We need to be tolerant. Baal, you know, there's many paths to God. Come on, Elijah. Don't be so narrow and pinched in your understanding. And you can multiply those arguments ad absurdum, as all of you have heard from even Christian people, professing Christian people. So Elijah proposes a test. You have 450 prophets of Baal and another 400 of Jezebel's prophets. 850 prophets. You guys, go get yourself up to Mount Carmel and we'll take two bullocks, one for them and one for me. 850-1. You must like your odds. And so they build their altar. And did you notice, beloved? It's not a want of enthusiasm here. They are devout worshipers of Baal. They cry out from the morning until the time of the evening sacrifice. It's not a lack of persistence. It's not a lack of excitement. They're leaping on the altar. They're crying out all day long. And finally, in a show of true devotion, they begin to harm themselves and cut themselves so that their blood is the only fresh blood that appears on their altar. That's true devotion, isn't it? Oh, but it's not devotion. It's not devotion only. It's where it's placed, to whom it is given. At noontime, Elijah takes advantage of that situation for the glory of God. Not for himself, but for the glory of God. And he shows the folly of what they're doing. Remember that all Elijah is doing is what Solomon will write about later. Because I called and you refused, I will laugh when your calamity comes. Those are God's words himself. And so that Elijah shows the priests of Baal to be ridiculous. You know what ridiculous means, right? Worthy of ridicule. It's not an ungodly thing, especially not in that context. Now be careful. You don't want to become an Elijah in the wrong context and step out of what is upright. But in this context, this was perfectly placed. It was exactly what needed to be seen. And so at the time of the evening sacrifice, finally then, Elijah says, well, let's go ahead and build up the altar of the Lord. And it says that he repaired the altar that was torn down. Interesting. That altar had been there for quite some time, since the days of the judges. Elijah repairs it with new stones, sets the wood, sets the bullock after he's butchered it and sets it there on that altar. And then he says, let's wet it. Let's wet it again. Let's wet it a third time so that it fills up the trench that we've dug, so that you'll understand that this is not some random event. And so the sacrifice is cut. It is put in place. It is anointed. It is washed, and now it is ready. And so notice Elijah's prayer. It is short. It doesn't take him all day to get the attention of his God. It is short and it is to the point and it is for the glory of God. And as soon as he says, amen, here comes the fire out of heaven. And everything is basically vaporized in a second. And all of the people, impressed by the scene, they fall upon their face. And if I can put it in a little bit more original language, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. They use the covenant name no more, like it says in Hosea 2, is the name Baali in their mouth. No, now it's Jehovah, Ishi, my husband. And this is one of the few instances where you will ever see a churchman in Scripture take up the duty of a civil authority, because the civil authority refuses his duty. And so Elijah says, you take those prophets of Baal and do not let them escape. Deuteronomy 13, right? And so they bring them to the brook Kishon and they slay all of them there. And then what happens? And then it rains. After fruit, meat for repentance, then it rains. And not before. And not a moment before. Oh, beloved, when we pray for rain in times of drought, I remember a few years ago, very dry, we prayed for rain and the Lord sent fire instead. Do you remember that? We had fires all around the Metroplex, especially out west, De Leon, almost burned the city down. We were praying for rain. The Lord sent fire. Well, what does that do? What should we do at times like that? We should double our efforts at searching out our sins and repenting. It was here after repentance and works meet for repentance that the Lord sent rain. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah then, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What was that about? Why did the Lord do that for his prophet? Two reasons. One was to protect him from the monsoon that was about to come. He didn't have to endure that on the top of Mount Carmel. But the second was for a testimony to Ahab and to Jezebel that God was with him even after this wondrous scene, that the Lord was going to continue to protect him. And so as a sign to Ahab and Jezebel as well. Well, we'll see how much good that does them in the next chapter. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.